I took some vacation days right after this past Thanksgiving. During those days, my wife was at work, my children were at school, and I got up each morning. I did not shave. I read the paper from front to back, every word. I drank more coffee than I'm supposed to. And then I donned my jeans and a flannel shirt to start the day. I spent those days alone at home, not thinking much about work, but rather cleaning and sorting out the attic, the garage, and the basement, and even putting up some Christmas decorations. I even that week discovered the county recycling and garbage dump, which for me at my stage in life, where we have accumulated so much in our house, is better than even Disneyland. Now, the downside to all of that cleaning and sorting and rearranging is that now, whenever someone in the family is looking for something and they can't find it, guess who's to blame? You know, sometimes bringing order to what is external to us in our surroundings gives us an internal sense of order, doesn't it? Now I can pull my car into a nice, neat garage where everything is lined up along the walls perfectly and neatly. All the screwdrivers are in a row, from large to small. And I have to tell you, that just makes me feel good about life in general. And of course, sitting in one's living room on a dark December night in the bask of Christmas tree lights is a special joy as well, isn't it? Advent. Advent is a time when we reorder the world around us. With trees and wreaths, candles, tables set with recipes from family history, songs and acts of service to those in need. And that is exactly how it should be. All this rearrangement of time and space renews our taste for the kingdom of God, in which life is so sweetly ordered according to God's plan for us, and His love is made manifest in our communion and in our service to one another. Mary's song following the angel Gabriel's visit is not only a song of acceptance for the special mission that God had for her to carry and deliver God's Son, Jesus, it is also especially an Advent sermon. A sermon about how God's mercy, His mercy, reorders our lives for the good. Let us pray. Father of Jesus, there is much disorder in the world around us and within our own lives. Open us to Mary's proclamation today and to the kingdom life we discover through the gift of your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. That's the focus for this morning, God's mercy. But of course, our attention is drawn to that old-fashioned expression which has somehow, thankfully, survived the newer translations of the Bible, for those who fear Him. To understand the Lord's mercy, we must first understand what it means to fear the Lord. The book of Proverbs, you may remember, in chapter 9 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear in that Old Testament sense implies awe and reverence, respect, wonder, as well as trepidation. Anyone in his or her right mind should have fear of the Lord, awe at his power, reverence for his goodness, respect for his might, wonder at his authority, and apprehension for where he might lead you. Because where he leads isn't always where you want to follow, right? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I think Mary understood this when Gabriel made his visit, and Jesus understood it, didn't he? When he prayed in the garden, "Let this cup pass from me." One of my favorite paintings is a depiction of the Annunciation by an artist called Henry Asawa Tanner. There is a print of it out near the information table that you can take a look at after the service if you'd like. The scene, if I could describe it for you here, is of Mary sitting in her bed, looking not like she is often depicted in Renaissance paintings, like a pious woman in prayer, but rather like a young girl uncertain of who or what has come to her room. Here, Gabriel, the messenger of God, is depicted in the painting as a pillar of light. It reminds me of that pillar of fire that leads Israel through the wilderness in the book of Exodus in the nighttime as they are lost. Whenever I hear the expression "fear of the Lord," I think of how Tanner depicts Mary's response to Gabriel's news. In one sense, she looks genuinely fearful, in another curious, in another awestruck, in another puzzled. What makes the image powerful to me is that it represents the reality of human response to God's presence and call. We're a mixed bag, aren't we, of praise and expectation, fear, anxiety, and wonder. We're never just one of these things. We're up and we're down. We're inconsistent. In one hour, ready and willing to answer God's call, in the next moment, calculating the costs. Mary understood all this from personal experience. So when she's preaching to us in Advent about mercy and fear, we know she's been there. As with Mary, being in relationship with God takes us into the nitty-gritty of life. And if your faith isn't taking you into the nitty-gritty of life, into that place of fear of the Lord, waiting with wonder for what God has in store next, life has become more than predictable and safe, then Mary, the mother of Jesus, has a prophetic word for you this morning. The mercy of the Lord is for those who fear Him. Okay. All of a sudden, Mary's words aren't just for a song. They're confronting us. We're starting to shift a little in our seats. Throats are starting to clear. I'm not sure I like the Magnificat anymore. I thought God's mercy was for everyone. I thought God's mercy was free. Of course, God's mercy is for all who will receive it. But it is in no sense free. Someone paid the price for the mercy we enjoy, and it was Mary's son. Mary pondered these things in her heart, Scripture tells us. She pondered the destiny of her child as our own mothers did for us. Mercy, mercy, mercy. How we long for God's mercy, but it's only for those who fear Him. What does that mean? For me, the best way of getting at this is by contemplating Mary's word as one depicting the descriptive reality of our relationship with God. The best way I know to speak of that is to say that we come to experience the mercy of God when we are constant in our relationship with God. When we live in a holy wonder and expectation for what God has in store for us, what God has in store for us and how He chooses to reach us. Whether He reaches us by emotional or spiritual, material aid or calling, or through wholesale salvation from our personal pit of darkness. I guess inherent in Mary's statement for those who fear Him is the realization that we have the freedom to run from all this uncertainty and external control over our lives and probably have good reason to run. Who, after all, wants to give up control of their lives? But if we run when angels come to visit, we deny ourselves the mercy of God, which I said earlier, reorders our world for the good. It is more than this is the mission, should you choose to accept it. It's this is the mission. It is impossible. You cannot possibly do it on your own. You are going to need me every step of the way. And it's in that need you have for me, says the Lord, that you'll discover what it means to enter my kingdom. The order of your life, inside and out, will be changed. And we only come to understand and name that mystery through the process of living into our need for God. Living into our need for God. And when you live into that need, it feels like forgiveness, feels like freedom from wrongs of the past, whether those are wrongs that you did to someone else or were done to you. It feels like hope for the future. Feels like someone knows how all the pieces of your life fit together. Feels like steadfast love. The mercy of the Lord is for those who fear Him. If you run, you deny yourself His mercy, which He longs to show you from one generation to the next. My friends, I think each one of us expresses our understanding for why we follow God in a slightly different way. But for me, it's always come down to not being able to help myself. There are plenty of times when I would like another option, one less demanding of my patience, emotional and physical health. But as much as I want to run away at times, I just cannot find anyone I am more compelled to follow than the Father's Son, than Mary's Son. He has the words of eternal life. Here I am, I can follow no other. His mercy is for those who fear Him, for those who are in awe of Him. We wonder what in the world is He up to. When you think of Mary, remember that prayer you once said long ago, or perhaps you are considering saying today because you can feel God's claim on your life, but you're just not sure what to do with that sense of pull, that sense of tugging on your will. I believe the very best words to say if you are in such a place today where you feel drawn to God, but you are not really certain if you want to have your life reordered, your thoughts reordered, your feelings reordered, your material and spiritual life reordered, say these words. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know how God will answer that prayer for you. Whether He will answer it soon or whether He will answer it later. Whether He'll mix things up in your life because that's precisely what you need. Or whether He will finally give you the calm and the peace that you have been longing for. But I can promise you this. God will answer your fear with mercy. God will answer your fear with mercy. Whatever that fear looks like, sounds like, feels like, whether it is wonder or awe or reverence or trepidation or all of the above all at once, His mercy is for you. His mercy makes your kingdom life possible. It's all on Him, and it's only for you to say yes. Yes. Say yes. Live into your need for God. He's going to rearrange your house. Are you ready? Let us pray. Lord, we do wonder what You are up to at times. Foster, we pray, our trust in Your mercy, which keeps us right in Your covenant with us. It's trust in Your mercy which sees us through. In the season of Advent, give us trusting hearts so we might rejoice in Your kingdom come to earth. Amen.